welcome to the African Mirror section of Newsbeat with myself, Shafiq Morton. It's a weekly feature on Matters Africa. This week, the African Development Bank's Independent Development Evaluation Unit, the IDEV, will host a COP30 side event in Brazil, highlighting how evidence can drive sustainable climate action in Africa, something which is critical. Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program at the University of KwaZulu-Natal and convener at the Africa Policy Circle, is online. Dr. Paul Kariuki, welcome.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show, and good afternoon to your listeners.
This is an interesting departure, as it were, a side event at COP30. I'm almost beginning to think that this could be one of the most significant events at COP30, because these COP conferences seem to come up with a lot of policy and very little application. United States is reneging on all its environmental undertakings under Trump. So I think this particular sideshow, quote unquote, is going to be a very interesting one.
I agree with you 100%, because first of all, the issues that are being brought forward for discussion at this COP is not the other kind of discussions that happen elsewhere. And I think the importance of this kind of a side event is to really kind of focus the actions where they're needed most, especially at this juncture, because issues of climate change and climate financing have really taken a bit of a beating since the last COP. And that is because one of the major issues is that when they discussed about financing, majority of the rich countries have stepped back and have not followed up through with their commitments. So the measurement of impact has become quite of an elusive target, so to speak, because what is happening now is that we cannot be able to distinguish at what point with the issues that have already been ratified in the previous COPs can come and see the light of the day, the first one. And the second, how can those who committed to finance certain actions have delayed or even withdrawn their financial support, and how can this be mitigated going forward, because otherwise it remains an ongoing circus.
Yeah, I mean, what is interesting about this African initiative at COP, they're talking about sustainable climate action, but evidence-based, which to me talks about collecting data-based yes. evidence, which is very important.
Yes, it's very important, because what cannot be measured cannot also be sustained. And I think the idea of bringing in evidence-based measurement here is to encourage the idea of collecting comprehensive data that is, of course, supported by transparency in terms of who collects the data, who is financing the collection, who's doing the reporting, who's doing the analysis, while at the same time also ensuring that the impact evaluations are aligned with evidence-based policies and investments. Otherwise, it becomes also an elusive target, especially for something complex like climate change that is not, is not easy to predict and accumulate some level of accuracy in terms of upfront reporting. These are climate-influenced motions, and no one can be able to predict with precision that this will happen. And I know technology has come in on board to try to kind of predict at what point do certain things do happen as far as weather changes are concerned. But still, there is no accuracy of saying by this time, by that time, this and this other episode will happen as far as weather changes are concerned. So the idea of ensuring that the decisions that are made and the policy positions that are being taken, they are evidence-based. It's important because the targets cannot be met if they're not supported by accurate data. But also, we also know that data collection and valuations, as well as impact assessments, are also very political. It depends on who is driving the impact assessments, because certain quarters of investors do have particular agendas in trying to drive a particular outcome or outcomes of this kind of initiative. So it's important also that there is also a discussion and transparency around who is investing in data collection and data reporting. And the third aspect, of course, is that it goes to the skilling, the capacity building. There has to be competency around data collection, because this is not a phenomenon that most people come through trained already. It's an evolving and very dynamic phenomenon. So in terms of capacity building for, enhanced skills and knowledge within government agencies and civil society and universities and other stakeholders that are involved in this process is also very paramount of importance, so that the capacity of the teams versus the investments do measure up. Otherwise, again, it becomes a very tricky situation when it comes methodologies and frameworks that were used to collect particular data to arrive to a particular conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, the language is very careful, and I think it's quite illustrative. I mean, you've already mentioned it. Scalable approaches, measurable development results. It's definitely a bank speaking, the African Development Bank, but I think it is the kind of language we need to hear. In other words, it's also hinting that we go one step at a time, that that's the only way to do it.
I agree 100%, because some of these things, because of the way they are dynamic in terms of the way they are evolving at this point in time, the second aspect being that also different countries are in different stages of understanding the effects and the impacts of climate change, and thirdly, the whole issue of human resourcing to support meaningful data collection and reporting. It cannot be done all at once as a blanket intervention. It has to be very, measured, depending on what countries can be able to support and domesticate within their own, contextual factors. And therefore, you'll find also that because of the political nature of it, member countries also that are supporting such initiatives also have different agendas, in-country agendas. And those also have to be factored in when when trying to scale up interventions like this, because there could be, potential sabotage, if I may use that, for not arriving to the desired effect, because in-country politics may not be necessarily aligned with the global initiatives. And politicians, as you know, have always different aspects of understanding of phenomena like this, because by the fact that it's also complex, it does not also give them, what they are looking for in country, and that is votes. So if it's not linked to an outcome that they think is directly impactful to their political agenda, then you'll find the commitments keeps on shifting here and there, and that shifts also in terms of resource allocations within countries to support initiatives such as this. So the point is that because of these varied factors, scaling up can only be made done in a face-by-face almost kind of a situation based on mutually agreed, steps from a national, international convention like this one's, so that in countries can be able to now start exploring how do they domesticate these conventions and resolutions made to support, measurement.
No, absolutely. I think measurement, as you so correctly say, is probably the most important element here. Obviously, the public, and when I mean the public, the farmers who might suffer droughts or floods or whatever, we need to see the realistic achievables in terms of that. And I think if things like that come through, for example, a farming community in sub-Saharan Africa are able to plant neem trees, for example, which save the soil, etc., and the tangible results, that politicians will buy into it, because that can be used to get votes. I'm being extremely cynical, but that's the way the system works.
I agree 100%. And we're seeing that now across Africa and other parts of the world, we are seeing even in the political landscape, there are now political parties that are emerging that are very green-oriented. They are very environmental conscious. And you see now some of those are actually advancing the conversations around, if they're given a chance to lead their countries, they will really emphasize certain things that really do, contribute towards environmental protection and environmental consciousness within the different populations. And we've seen a lot of those kind of political parties gaining traction, even in terms of membership and even in terms of votes because, again, they are talking to a very environmental conscious public, especially the young generation that is not, you know, sentimentally attached to liberation movements or those historical traditional parties, even in Europe and other places. This young generation is interested in current issues that are really affecting them directly. And so most of them are actually inclined towards supporting any environmental politics. And it's an important aspect, of course, to observe. And one of the many themes that this co-op is also emphasizing is greater inclusivity of even marginalized groups like young people, that they must have now a say in policy decision making, and I'm sure even in such evaluative thinking that is already starting to emerge within climate change discussion, young people's voices in those discussions will be very important, because they are actually now driving specific climate change related interventions in different countries. And we are seeing even here in South Africa, we are seeing young people getting more and more interested in climate change and environmental protection initiatives.
Very, very important. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there for this week's edition of the African Mirror. This time Thursday every week, we look at matters African. And this week, we were looking at the African Development Bank via the Independent Development Evaluation Monitor, I'll call it that, hosting a COP30 side event and having a look at sustainable climate action in Africa. Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program at the University of KZN and convener at the Africa Policy Circle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show.